for your own stuff. I'll do it now, actually. Here we go. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for Carney, another diligent servant. And we lift him up to you and we pray, Lord, that you'd be with him during this time as he speaks to us. We thank you for everything he does for this church, Lord. We thank you for his commitment, Lord. And we just pray that we have open hearts to listen to what Carney has prepared for us, Lord, so we can receive and hear, Lord, and change as we progress and grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Matt. Good morning, church. How are we doing? Good. Have you completed your Christmas shopping? Nearly there. I'm going to set a timer for myself because otherwise I like to talk. I get excited about God's word. So if you left me, actually I could talk for hours. So starting now. Yeah, this is my reminder. It's good to see you all. It's so good that we can all be here. I just want to it's good to see you, Julie and Romilly. How's Ade? Oh, it's looking after the dog. Awesome, yeah. So great to see you guys. You know, always the smile is still there, always smiling and cheering us up. So really good to see you guys. You know, and you know, those kind of regulars and those we haven't seen for a while, but so great. But isn't it kind of sad and good just kind of sending Mary and Steve off, and they've just been such a blessing to us. You know, it's just so many stories I could tell about their love. They're part of our home group. And they're always encouraging and just real role models. So it'll be sad to see them leave. But we know that God's got great plans for them, you know, and that God will continue to use them and bless them for his glory. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we are here for you, Lord. Just like we sang in our time of worship. We're waiting here for you. Look, you're everything that we need. We're desperate for you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness to us this year. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for what you continue to do with us. And we bless you. And we just welcome you. Spirit of God, we just ask that you just come and speak through me. And we pray, Lord, that your people here will be blessed. Those that will be listening online through our podcast, they will hear something of you, Lord God. That will be a blessing to them, Lord, for your glory. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, hope. So we started off the Hope series. So Tim kicked it off by talking about the adventure of the wise men, you know, and how they were searching and researching and looking for Jesus, you know. And isn't it so true that, you know, we're all actually just looking and searching for something. Every day people search for different things, you know, in different places. Some are engrossed in TV, shopping, all sorts of stuff, you know, just looking for something, joy, peace, whatever it is. You know, but the wise men, they knew what they were looking for, and they found that in Jesus. So that was good. And then Brother Chris encouraged us that Jesus is for everyone. So Jesus didn't just come for the select few. You know, he came for everyone. And then we had our beautiful carol service yesterday, just to say thanks to Ruth and everyone involved in decorating the hall. Isn't it beautiful? Let's just give them a round of applause. It's just been nice, you know, just to just have a place that's welcoming, you know. It just makes people a little bit more comfortable. So, yeah, it's good that we had our carol service last week. And Tim also, what did Tim talk about? Yeah, he... I refer to my notes. Yeah, no, he talked about Jesus for the future, didn't he? I know, that was funny. Jesus for the future and how we all need him for where we're going. So today I'm going to be talking about Jesus' hope for relationships. So Christmas is a time where we get together with families, with friends, relatives. But before we do that, I want this to be interactive. The thing about God's word, I don't want to go off too much. The thing about God's word, you know, the parable of the seed, the sower, as God's words, as the seeds are being scattered, there are, you know, if our hearts are not in the right place, we can actually miss what God's saying to us. So I just want us to just, you know, give God our attention this morning. During one of our family sessions, you know, with my girls, I said to them, you know, one thing is actually very easy to hear from God. You know, a lot of people ask this question, like, how come I can't hear from God? How come I can't connect with God? And you know, and questions like that. And I said to them, it's actually very, very easy and very simple. You know, we practice it during worship. We practice it at different times. And I said to them, what's the first commandment? The first commandment is to love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. So, and I said to them, you know, that this is, if you can get this, it would make your Christian journey very enjoyable. It says, all God wants from us is our full attention. Love him. Whatever you're doing, if you're spending 5 hours, if you're spending 5 minutes with God, at that moment, give him all of your attention, all of your mind, all of your strength, all of your focus. You know, we could all be here. You know, I could be speaking, but our minds could be everywhere. What do we have to do in a couple of hours? What's for dinner? What's for lunch? And, you know, what all of that stuff. But God is saying, actually, when it comes to loving God, if we're going to do anything for God, the success in that process is how much of us we give to God. So I really want to encourage us, not just as you hear me, as you hear God today, but you know, in our time of fellowship and intimacy and Bible study, just you know, the key is to bring our minds back, bring ourselves back. You know, Lord, I want to give you 100% of me. My eyes, my focus is on you. And in that stillness, in that 100% concentration, you will hear from God. You will feel his spirit, you know, in your presence. You know, he would minister to you. So I just want to encourage us with that if you only get to hear one thing from God in everything I have to say today, that's good. But let's just hear what God is saying to us. It will be different for each and every one of us, but let's just hear what God is saying to us. And let's just be completely open to his word. Okay. Before I go into it, I want us to get into maybe just the person next to you. I want you to talk to each other and just ask them, what are three things you would hope or want for Christmas? Three things you'd hope or want for Christmas. So just the person next to you. I'll give you a minute to do that. And then I'm going to have some of you shout out some things. So, three things you hope or want for Christmas. Okay. Can you call out a few? Mm-hmm. Peace, yeah. More time. And a horse. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay, that's good. What kind of horse? And no. okay, call out some more. Oh, that's good. Peace, joy, and happiness for the kids, for grandchildren. Okay. Yeah, Celine?
Chocolate, marshmallows,
and
a whole bunch of Rocky Road.
You're easy to please. Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. That's good. Health, yes. Yeah, health. That's awesome. Yeah, health for the children. Jesus. Yes, I love that. I love that, Julie. Jesus. Go on, David. Okay. Peace in Europe. Hope for the future. Amazing. That's awesome. Okay, I'll come back to that. All right, we're going to look at God's word. And I'm a bit of a teacher. I'm not a preacher as such. So I love to just look at God's word and just see what God's saying to us. You know, I think that for me, that's a safe bet because, you know, we can have so many views about so many different things, but I think it's really just all about God's word. So let's just look at the first Christmas was like in the relationship of Mary and Joseph. And what we can take from that, what we can understand from that, what God is saying to us from that picture, and see how we can apply that to ourselves. So if we have our Bibles, can we please turn to Matthew chapter 1? I'm going to read it. It's going to come up on the screen. It's in, I think it's in NIV up there, but I've got it in New King James Version on here. So, you know, the words might be slightly different, but that's fine. So whatever version you've got, that's fine. Just have that Bible open with you. And we're going to just look through the first Christmas. Are we there? Matthew 1:18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. So this is the first Christmas. After his mother, Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now imagine the scenario right there. Jesus Mary was engaged to Joseph, and you know they would have been talking about their future. Imagine that Christmas table, you sit around, you know, to talk about their future, what the future holds, and you know, we're gonna get married and we're going to have children and we're going to do all of this and do that. So that was the picture, that was the scene there. After they talked about the engagement plans and the future, so it then goes on to talk. It says she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. So I want us to just picture this: how would Joseph have felt? How would he have felt? You know, just imagine this. You know, this picture. This is perfect bride, future together, and then he finds out that she's pregnant, and he knows that it's not his. So I just want us to imagine it, because sometimes we read these stories; they're very familiar. You know, we read these stories, but we don't take time to just come back and think, actually, what's happening in a situation like that? And I just want to just bring it home a bit. You know, what news have you heard recently about someone that you weren't expecting? Maybe a partner, a loved one, a grandchild. You know, you've been praying for them. You've been hoping that, you know, good things would come about. And then you hear that something not good is about to happen. We sometimes find that in our relationship, you know, we talk about a perfect future. You know, we talk about what the future holds. But sometimes we don't factor in life challenges, you know, things like sickness. You know, some of it could be terminal. You know, that partner that we hope that would live with forever, future plans, all of a sudden we're facing, you know, sickness or what have you. We might hear an unexpected news, betrayal of trust, you know, whatever the situation. I want us to look at what happens in this story. And in verse 19, he says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. So Joseph, as right as it is, kind of thought maybe divorce is an option here. You know, I don't want to disgrace her. I don't want to embarrass her. I'm just going to do it, you know, secretly, quietly. Jimmy, let's get a divorce. Let's not make it public. Let's just end this. You know, and I want us to look at this, because you're thinking this is the you know, we talk about Christmas and Jesus being born and this perfect scenario. And yet in the back of Joseph's mind, he's thinking, I want a divorce. I want out. This is not my child. You know, so I want us to just think about that in terms of our relationship. You know, have we been in a place where we've taken what seems like the easy way out? You know, let's just ignore that person over Christmas. Let's not invite them. You know, I don't want to call that uncle. I don't want to call that auntie. I don't want to relive that pain. You know, let's just easily just set that aside. Joseph thought of a divorce. Let's just get rid of it. It says verse 20, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, you know, I think going back to Joseph and just the whole thought of divorce, sometimes, you know, we live in a culture where, I think they call it a cancel culture, where, you know, if we don't like something, we can cut it off and move on. You know, sometimes you have people in groups, it's like, well, I don't like what that person has said, so I'm just going to leave. You know, I don't like this, I'm just going to leave. I'm just going to find another option. I'm just going to find another wife. I'm just going to find another husband. I'm just going to, things like that. But it says, but while he thought about these things, it says, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, look at what the angel said. It says, Joseph, son of David. And I just want to encourage us over Christmas. You know, I don't know what our situation is. I have mine. You have yours. You know, but whatever that challenge is, if you can, like I started off by saying, if you can just take time to, maybe in the time of prayer, maybe in the time of seeking God, if you can just take time to focus and to come to the Lord, the first thing the Lord wants to say to you is call out your name. Joseph, God knows each and every one of our name. You know, God knows the situation that we're in. God's message from through that angel was specifically for Joseph. You know, so I want to encourage you, you know, whatever you're going through, you know, in terms of our relationship, like just hear the voice of the Lord. The first thing God wants to say, he knows your name, calls out your name, you know, makes it personal, you know. So God, that's how good our God is. That's what Christmas is all about. You know, God called out Joseph, son of David. And then the second thing he said to him is, do not be afraid. You know, fear causes us to make all sorts of decisions. Fear causes us to react in different ways, you know, in our relationships. You know, people get it wrong. You know, you don't quite smack them, but you're just like, oh, okay, yeah, just put them aside or, you know, say things. So Jesus, God appeared through the angel to Joseph. He said, I know you by name. I know you by name. That situation, it says, do not be afraid. There's nothing bigger and greater than God's intervention. Is it the cost of living? Is it inflation? Is it not knowing what the future holds? God is saying to us this Christmas, do not be afraid. If this is all that you take from this morning's message, it's good. God knows you by name, and he's saying to us over Christmas, do not be afraid. To take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from sin. Let's be open, church, to God's way. Let's be open to God's voice over Christmas. You know, that relationship, that challenge, let's just be open to what God might be saying to us. You see, we might not necessarily get a vision directly from God, a dream directly from God. But what is God speaking to us through each other? So Mary, after we prayed for her, you know, just stood here and said to us that she felt as she was praying, God was saying, gave her the word, cherish. Do you know what I mean? Oftentimes, how often have God spoken to us through angels, through each other, and we've missed what God is trying to say to us? You know, the Bible says, despise not prophecies. Test everything. You know, but that's a beautiful word that she brought up, you know, cherish. You know, for to someone that would mean something. That would mean something for what the situation that they're in. So God speaks to us through each other. So let's pray. That's why it's good for us to get together, to have fellowship, home groups. You know, because in that, God would speak to us. God would minister to us. You know, oftentimes, you know, I've had God speak to me through all different funny situations and circumstances, but God is speaking. He is always looking to reach out to us. So verse 22, it says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." There's a beautiful scripture in Romans 8 that says, "All things work together for good to those that God has called." You know, sometimes when we look at our life, you know, when we look back and we kind of think, "Wow, Lord, why did you let that happen? You know, why did you let this situation happen? You know, this maybe a sickness," or, you know, you think, why did you let all of that happen? In Mary and Joseph's situation, scripture saying to us that God allowed that to happen because that's his will. That's how he wanted it to be. You know, so sometimes when we go through things, let's just be open to God's perspective. God, where are you in this situation? I'm hurting. You know, this relationship is not good, but Lord, where are you in this relationship? Where are you in this situation? What is it about your, what is this, what is it about your will are you trying to establish? All this happened to fulfill what God had already destined to happen. Behold, a virgin shall be with a child. So when we're going through stuff, I just want us to be encouraged that, you know, God's in it. God would always give us the grace to go through. You know, it's like if we actually care to write down our testimonies, we can look back. I'm really running out of time, aren't I? We can look back and maybe this wasn't a good idea to set this. We can look back and thank God that he's been with us. In this case, you shall bear a son and you shall call his name God with us. God is with you. He knows you by name. He's saying, whatever that situation is, do not be afraid. Jesus comes into the situation, and Jesus is God with us. I started off by the interactive moment that we had, you know, just asking us what would like for Christmas. You know, we called out a few things: peace, joy, horse, chocolate, marshmallows, and things like that, which are all good things. But what does God want us to have for Christmas? You know, for ourselves, for our relationship, what does God want us to have for Christmas? I'm going to talk through a few points, and then I want us to spend some time praying at the end as well, because I think that's probably more important than hearing, equally as important as hearing what God has to say to us. So what does God want us to have for Christmas? You know, Celine brought a word, John 10:10, that the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy, but Jesus has come to give us life and life more abundantly. That was a beautiful word. Thank you for that. You know, but that is so true, isn't it? That Jesus came to give us life and give us life more abundantly. That means the life that Jesus gives us is progressive. You know, it gets better and better. He gives life. He breathes into our relationship. You know, he breathes into our situation. So we're going to look at a few points here from Isaiah 61. So if you've got your Bibles, if we can go to that. I think Tim also encouraged us this morning with this word. So that's a good sign that God is in our meeting this morning. God's always in our meetings. So Isaiah 61, 1 to 3. I'm just going to look at a few points, and we're going to pray into these points, because this is so important. Because sometimes, you know, we're our relationships, you know, talk about relationship with our parents, you know, maybe we don't, you know, relationship with our, you know, in-laws and, you know, what have you, might be not good for one reason or another. And that hits home, especially around Christmas, you know, when we go around to see them, or when we get together. But I want us to look at some of the reasons why people are the way they are. Do you know, if you speak to someone and they react in a certain way, you know, have you ever thought, you know, what's the reason why they're behaving the way they're behaving? What's the reason why that child is behaving that way? You know, what's the reason why that grandchild is behaving that way? You know, we often don't think about that. And I think God wants us to really just be open to what Jesus has come to offer us. Jesus hasn't just come to just fix the surface, you know, just apply a bit of makeup, you know, just heal the, you know, he wants to touch us from the inside out, our relationships from the inside out. Isaiah 61 verse 1, he says, "Preach." So the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is Jesus, the prophecy about Jesus from Isaiah. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. The Lord God has enabled Jesus as he's come to bring life and bring life more abundantly, to do several things. And we, as disciples of Jesus, this is how we, these are the things that we need to ourselves minister to people, understand and minister to people and allow ourselves to be ministered into. And we're going to pray into all these points later. One, preach good tidings to the poor. You know, God's word is good news. And I just want to encourage you. You know, there are so many good words that people can share with each other. But what about sharing the good news of God's word to someone this Christmas, a relationship? You know, the Christmas pudding is nice, the mince pie is nice, all of that stuff is good. But what about just a little bit of good tidings? The joy of the Lord is your strength, or there's hope. You know, there's in Jesus, there's relief. You know, just Jesus came to preach good tidings to the poor. The poor is simply someone that at the moment, at that instant, hasn't got what they should have. You know, that relationship, whatever it is, they haven't got what they should have. So God is saying, preach or speak or proclaim good news to the poor. So this Christmas, can I encourage us, church, to explore for ourselves the hope in God's word? What is God saying for that situation? What is God saying to that individual? You know, I do, as you guys know, ministry in the prison at Bronzefield. And sometimes all they want to hear is that God loves them. Do you mean? And you go up to someone, you just say to them, "Yes, I know you don't know what the future holds. You know, you might have a court case, you don't know all of that stuff. But one thing you can take is that God loves you." So how do I know? How can I? It's like the word of God says so. You know, the word of God is true. God loves you. You know, he created you. He knows what you're going through. God loves you. And Joseph, you know, in hearing what the angel said, "Do not be afraid," you know, just had that confirmation that, yes, God is real and God loves me. So I just want to encourage us this Christmas. One, let's find opportunities to share good tidings to people around us. Let's be good ambassadors for Jesus. Let's preach, let's proclaim his word to each other and to people around us. You know, when we have opportunities to talk to people that don't know God, we don't necessarily have to say what actually says in Exodus, in Matthew 16, this. And no, actually, we're just like, you know, it could just be in our conversations, let's throw in hope. This forgiveness, but you can love, you can understand. Have you thought about this way? Have you thought about, you know, maybe they're behaving like that because of this and that? Luke 2:10 says, the angel of the Lord said, you know, the same similar Luke's version of the Christmas story. And the angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Jesus has come to bring good tidings of great joy. The second point there, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Joseph was brokenhearted when he heard his wife was pregnant and he knew it wasn't his child. You know, there was a brokenness. You know, oftentimes the reactions from people are because of their broken heart. It's like, "I don't mean to hurt you, but my heart is broken." Oftentimes because of something that's happened in the past. You know, that's why I'm behaving like that. That's why I'm lashing out. So when you get the boys at the prison and, you know, all they want to do is fight, you know, it's because their heart is broken. to mean their heart is broken, is what they're going through. So if you can see through the, you know, what's happening on the outside and just kind of think, actually, what's going on in their heart? Jesus came and Jesus said, no, it's like, I see, I look at that person and I see behind their behavior, I see a broken heart that I want to heal. And Jesus is saying, you know, I've come to bind up the brokenhearted. I've come to heal the brokenhearted. So I just want to encourage us again, you know, this time of Christmas, let's be God ambassadors. You know, when we see things like this, as spiritual as we are, let's prayerfully look at how we can bring healing, the healing that Jesus offers, into relationships. Maybe our hearts are broken ourselves, and that's the reason why we are how we are. You know, our relationships. Can I just encourage us that we give our hearts afresh to Jesus, who has come to heal our broken hearts? Divorce is often a reaction or an implication of a broken heart. You know, broken homes are a result of hearts that have been broken. You know, years and months of abuse or whatever it is. The impact on broken homes, addictions are a result of broken hearts. You know, some people, it might not be as severe as, I talk about prison a lot, but it might not be as severe as that. You know, that some people are addicted to social media just because they just don't want that time of quietness to kind of think, actually, what's really going on the inside? It's like, I'd rather just do something. I'd rather just like spend time on YouTube, on Instagram, and all of that stuff, you know, just because I don't want to face the brokenness, the pain that I feel. And Jesus is saying this Christmas, I've come to heal the broken heart. I've come to give life, and I've come to give life more abundantly. So when we start to see some of these traits in people, in relationships around us, Jesus is calling us to step in, bring good tidings, bring hope, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison doors to those who are bound. Again, very similar to the point I made earlier. You know, what are those things that have held us captive? You know, that word, to proclaim liberty, you know, is Jesus saying, I've come to say that you are free. I don't care what people have said to you. I don't care what, you know, someone has said to you about, you know, I've come to proclaim liberty, to say that you are free, to proclaim liberty to the captive, that freedom to the captive. And some of the things that can captivate us, if I look at one example, is fear. Of how many times in scripture has God said to us, do not be afraid? You know, that's one of the reasons why I try not to watch the news at all, because there's nothing joyful about the news. It's all set up to make us afraid. Inflation is at 11%. Guess what? It's gone up by 1% from yesterday to today. You know, all of that stuff is just news to make us fearful. But Jesus is saying, no, I've come to give you freedom, you know, freedom from fear. You know, the Bible says, you know, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. You know, fear is a spirit. Spirits are released through words, through things that we hear, through things that we see. That's why we have to guard ourselves, guard our hearts. Jesus has come to set the captives free and to open the prison doors to those who are bound. Some other examples that can take us captive is the lust of the flesh. You know, some people just have to have things. As I said, you know, addicted to shopping, to riches, to just kind of selfish desires, anxieties. All of those things Jesus has come to set us free from. When we look at the story of Peter, we're not going to go there, but it's in Acts 12. The story of Peter when Herod killed James, the brother of John, and he saw that he pleased the Jews, so he thought, actually, no, this is good. Let's get let's get Peter and put him in prison. And Peter was there. And then the Bible says that as he was kept in prison, it says constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. That's one of the things that drives me to pray. You know, if the church weren't praying, could Peter have been killed the same way that James was? Have you considered that? Constant prayer was offered for him by the church. I want to encourage us, church, you know, this Christmas, as we have family round, as we think of loved ones, one of the best Christmas present that we can give someone, constant prayer. It's a constant prayer. Constant prayer was being made by the church for Peter. And then the Bible says, again, the angel of the Lord came, you know, a light shone in the prison, and they said to Peter, get up, you know, rise quickly. Chains fell off, put his clothes back on, and walked him out. And then they said, after they'd gone some way, the angel then left. And I bring this point to say that it's sometimes we could be free from the captive, the things that are holding us, but Jesus actually wants us to walk out of that jail cell. You know, some people are not necessarily, they know they're free, but it's just that boldness to walk in that freedom. You know, well, I know that Jesus set me free. I know that I should be happy and joyful, but I'm just afraid to step out. You know, I'm just afraid to step out of the boat. You know, I just really just want to just encourage us that Jesus has not just come to set the captives free, but he's come to open the prison doors for us to walk out. So I just feel free to take bold steps. You know, maybe in the area of prayer. You know, those things that seem impossible, we can pray. We can pray, and God can do the miraculous. You know, the track record was that Herod already killed James, so it's inevitable that he was going to do the same for Peter, but for the church, praying constantly. God is good. I wish I had more time to elaborate on this. I've only got 3 minutes. No, I'm not going to. I make the mistake of rushing through things in the past, especially with my preach. So I think I don't want to do that. I think even if we stop here, I think God has spoken to us this morning, you know, and God has spoken to us about our relationship. God has spoken to us about things that we need to do, things that he wants us to do for our relationship with each other and the people around us. But the last point I was going to make, and I'm just going to read it and leave it there because I want us to actually pray, is verse 4 of Isaiah 61. It says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So this is what Jesus has come to do, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So every time I walk in through those prison doors in Bronzeville, it's one of the messages I have for them. So I don't care how broken your situation is. I don't care how much those ashes are. There's only one person, there's only one God that has promised to give beauty for ashes. He's come to comfort those who mourn. He says, I've come this Christmas to give you the oil of joy for mourning. I know you want the horse and the chocolates and all of that stuff, but he's saying, actually, can I give you something even more? You know, for your mourning, can I give you the oil of joy? For that heaviness, that depression, that anxiety, that stress, can I give you the garment of praise? And it's all for free. All for free. And Jesus is saying to us this morning, would we receive? Would we accept the hope for relationship? Would we accept that gift that he's offering us and our relationships this morning? Would we be able to stand with Jesus to say, yes, now I see the reason that person is reacting that way is because of their broken heart. Lord Jesus, what can I do to help this Christmas? How can I pray? How can I stand in a gap? How can I be a vessel for your glory? How can I bring joy to their lives over this Christmas? I think it'd be good to, I'm just going to stop here. I think it'd be good for us to pray into some of these things, because I really get this sense that God has spoken to us this morning, and he wants us to respond. He wants to encourage us. You know, Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to. You know, so I just want to just encourage the worship team to please come back up. And I want us to spend time praying for ourselves, praying for our relationships this Christmas, that God will make a difference. So if I can encourage us to stand, if we can. Guys, if you just play just quietly in the background as we pray, because I think it'll be good for us to spend some time doing that. Just thinking how we can do this. Maybe what we can do is, let's just spend a minute just praying by ourselves, and then we'll spend a couple more minutes just ministering to each other. Maybe again, just turn to the person next to you and just ask them, is there anything that you want me to stand in a gap for you this Christmas? Has your Christmas list now changed after hearing what you've heard this morning? And what can I pray into? So let's just spend a minute just praying and just asking God, just to remind us. I think if it'd be good to just to leave that Isaiah 61 scripture up, if you can, Dinah, please, that'd be great. Just to give us some points to pray into. Thank you.